Of whom? Parapadma. Of the lotus flower of the feet. Vakaranda. Of the honey. Nishevanena. By tasting the sweetness of rendering service. Rama Adayaha. Great personalities like Lord Brahma. Sharanada. O my Lord, supreme shelter of everyone. Ashnuvate. Enjoy. Vibhutihi. Benedictions given by you. Kasmat. How? Vayam. We. Kushrityaha. All the rogues and thieves. Kalayonayaha. Born of an envious dynasty. Namely, that of the demons. Te, those asuras. Dakshinyadrishtipadavim, the position bestowed by the merciful glance. Bhavataha, of your lordship. Pranitaha, have achieved. Translation. O supreme shelter of everyone, great personalities like Brahma enjoy their perfection simply by tasting the honey of rendering service at your lotus feet. But as for us, we're all rogues and debauchees, born of an envious family of demons. How have we received your mercy? It has been possible only because your mercy is causeless. So there's no purport to this text. So we're going to read the next text with its purport. So text 8. Chitram deve tavehitam ahomitta yoga maya lila vishishta bhuvanasya visharatasya sarvatvana samma drisho vishamma svabhavo mokta priyo yad hasi kalpattaro svabhavaha. O my Lord, your pastimes are all wonderfully performed by your inconceivable spiritual energy and by her perverted reflection, the material energy. You have created all the universes. As the supersoul of all living entities, you are aware of everything. And therefore, you are certainly equal toward everyone. Nonetheless, you favor your devotees. This is not partiality. However, for your characteristic is just like that of a desire tree, which yields everything according to one's desire. So the Lord says, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu namidvesho stinapriyaha yeva janti tamam bhukya maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend. He's in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly equal toward all living entities, but a devotee who fully surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord is different from a non-devotee. In other words, everyone can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord to enjoy benedictions from the Lord. But non-devotees do not do so, and therefore they suffer the consequences created by the material energy. We can understand this fact by a simple example. The king or government is equal to all citizens. Therefore, if a citizen capable of receiving special favors from the government is offered such favors, this does not mean that the government is partial. One who knows how to receive favors from the authority can receive them. But one who does not neglect these favors and does not receive them. There are two classes of men, the demons and demigods. The demigods are fully aware of the Supreme Lord's position, and therefore they are obedient to him. But even if demons know about the supremacy of the Lord, they purposefully defy his authority. Therefore, the Lord makes distinctions according to the mentality of the living being, but otherwise he is equal to everyone. Like a desire tree, the Lord fulfills the desires of one who takes shelter of him. But one who does not take such shelter is distinct from the surrendered soul. One who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is favored by the Lord, regardless of whether such a person is a demon or a demigod. So, Om Ganat Timurandasha, Ganam Janash Lakya Chakshur of Meditam Gurna, Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, this principle of partiality is generally due, at least in the material world, to one who has an interest, a self-interest in something. In other words, something to be gained from a particular situation. So therefore, in an honest society, where someone has a position in the government, and they're called to make a decision about someone, and the someone they're called to make a decision of is a friend or is a relative or is connected to them, they do something called recusing themselves from the situation. I mean, you know what that means? They take themselves out of the situation. Let's say I'm a court of justice, and they bring Sumukh here for judgment, and he's my disciple. So I'll say, I can't be fair, because I want to torture him. Anyways, I can't be fair because I have some connection with him. Just like if you work in the tax department and your father is being taxed, you don't take up the case, do you? You do. You do take up the case. Well, that's Fiji. Anyway, you hand it over to someone else. Because there's some personal connection, something to be gained, something to be lost. So you hand it over to someone else. But in the case of Krishna, he has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. He already owns everything. And not only that, he gets whatever he wants anyway. In the Bhagavatam, it's described that Krishna is the supreme independent. Swarat is the word used. Supreme independent because he has this quality of aptakama. Aptakama means whatever he wants, he gets. He doesn't need anyone else. Lakshmi sahasra sataha sambrahma sevimanam govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. He has all these Lakshmis in the spiritual world. What does he need? One Lakshmi. If one of them goes on strike, they don't go on strike. But anyway, if one of them doesn't want to do her service, okay, no problem. Hare Krishna. I got other people who cook for me. He's supremely independent in this way. And just by his desire, because aptakama means by his desire, he gets what he wants. So because of that, Krishna is equal poised. Because he has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. He's just pure. When we talk about causeless mercy, here Prabhupada makes the point, causeless mercy. In the material world, the mercy usually has a cause to it. Now I'm going to explain what causeless mercy means. Because it's very interesting, because the devotees misunderstand it. All right, let's talk about the material world. Mercy has a cause to it because you do something for someone and you get something in return.
Right.
But with Krishna, the causeless mercy is there because he doesn't need anything, as I mentioned before. So he's pure compassion. He's manifesting pure compassion. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. Dinabandhu Jagatpate. Wonderful prayer. Hey, oh Krishna, you're an ocean of mercy. Dinabandhu. That's actually very interesting. Dinabandhu means the friend of the poor people or a poor person. I mean, just like there's a very interesting story that a young boy, he was going to school and it came time to give the teacher a donation. In those days, the teachers didn't make salaries because they were Brahmins. Now, generally, the teachers, they're Shudras. Because when you take a salary, you come under control. I understand. I'm not accusing everybody of being a dog. But Prabhupada said, when someone graduates from the technological school, they go around begging for a master. Actually, Prabhupada said that. So, you know, you're all looking for jobs. Will you be my master? FEA, will you be my master? Ruff, ruff. I will serve you nicely. Or Vodafone, be my master. Ruff, ruff. Be my master. Or FMU, be my master. Ruff, ruff. Anyway, it's Kali Yuga. I'm not accusing anyone of being a dog, although I just said it. So, in Kali Yuga, we devotees sometimes have to take these positions. Not that they become Shudras. But anyway, traditionally a teacher was a Brahmin, and a Brahmin got charity. You know, a Brahmin got charity. So there became a time when the students would give charity to the teacher. So anyway, so this particular teacher became that time, and there was one poor boy who just didn't have the money to give or anything to give the teacher. And he went to his mother and he said, "Mom, what are we going to do?" And she said, "We don't have any money, so the only thing you could do is go to Krishna, who's Dinabandhu." It's a famous story. So he went and he asked his mother, "Where is he?" He's in Vrindavan. So he went to the forest. Dinabandhu, Dinabandhu. And Krishna said, "You can..." Anyway, I'm making the story very short. "You can give this your teacher some yogurt." And he gave him some yogurt. I mean, there's more to the story than that. But anyway, so he brought the yogurt to the teacher. There's one cup of yogurt to the teacher. And the teacher said, "This is all you're giving me?" Of course, a Brahmin wouldn't do that. A Brahmin would be happy to receive anything. You know, even if you gave him one pice. You have pices here. Anyway, no, you're not pices here. So anyway, if you gave him one penny or something like that. So, but in Kali Yuga, Brahmin's a little bit different. Just like if you go now even to the holy places, you give a panda some money, and if you don't give him enough, he throws it back in your face and says, "Give it to me or I curse you. Give me more." So what happened is that the teacher was very upset, threw the yogurt on the floor, and then he picked up the bucket or picked up the little cup and there was more yogurt in it. And he saw it was unlimited yogurt. Anyway, so the point I'm making is that Krishna's Dinabandhu. Dinabandhu is friend of the poor. Jagatpate, isn't it? Lord of the universe. Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, the most today. Anyway. That's Krishna. So Krishna's equal to everyone. One thing we can learn from that, in addition to the story I just told, is that we each have an equal right to become pure devotees of the Lord. Sometimes you think that this devotee got a lot of mercy. Why did he or she get a lot of mercy? Why not me? The reason that devotee got a lot of mercy is because that devotee surrendered to Krishna. And the reason you're not getting a lot of mercy is that you're not surrendered to Krishna. So it's your personal responsibility. We find that nowadays people don't take personal responsibility either for their spiritual advancement or for anything else they do. You know, why don't you chant your japa? Because I'm in Maya. And so you always want to blame someone or some situation for your particular lack either of devotional service or lack of piety or lack of determination. But in fact, it's your fault. You have to take responsibility. So everyone has equal opportunity to become Krishna conscious. You can become Krishna conscious in 1 second, or it can take a whole millions of lifetimes. It just depends on you, not on Krishna. So when we talk about causeless mercy, that means, I said I was going to define it, that means that Krishna is giving his mercy without his personal consideration, but the mercy is based upon your reciprocation. In other words, the causeless mercy doesn't mean that you're going to get pure devotional service without doing a damn thing or surrendering it at all or changing your consciousness or changing your heart or whatever. Causeless mercy means you have to do something to deserve it. In other words, devotees think causeless mercy means I don't have to do anything to deserve it. But you do. The reason you came to Krishna consciousness, if you've actually come to Krishna consciousness, is that you wanted Krishna. It's not that you, somehow or other, you got frustrated, Brahmanda Brahmate, Komna Bhagavan, Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhagavati Bhagavish. You got frustrated with this material world and you cried out to Krishna and Krishna came. Gave you spiritual master. You had to do something. I mean, why are certain people sitting in this room and other people not sitting in this room? Or certain people taking up Krishna consciousness, not other people. It's not that people got more mercy. I mean, it's like in my own case, I prayed to God before I came to Krishna consciousness, before I came in contact with Prabhupada. I prayed, God, let me serve you. You know, I didn't know his name. I just knew his position. God is a position. I said, God, let me serve you. And then all of a sudden, I heard on the radio, Prabhupada chanting, 1969. Hare Krishna mantra. I said, oh, that's the answer to my prayers. So there has to be, in other words, it's a reciprocal thing. Even just coming to Krishna consciousness, or every stage of devotional service, it is dependent on you. Does that make sense? Because Krishna yetalam, Krishna is reciprocating. So, Moham Sarvabhutesha, Nami Gracious, Nami Priyaha. I have no favorites. Krishna, we have to take Krishna's words at face value. So, that's Krishna. And as far as ourselves, we also have to develop this particular mood of being impartial. And I remember the description of kings in India many, many years ago. And of course, we could also make reference to Lord Ram and his impartiality. But the kings in India, many years ago, and this is before all the invasions of the Muslims and the Central Asians and everything like that. Oh, one interesting fact for you. You read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they give the years as Shakabda. Anyone remember that? Shakabda this or Shakabda that? That's not a Vaishnav designation. That just refers to the years after the Asian invasion of India. So don't think, oh, that's the Chaitanya year or something like that. You know, people spiritualize all these things without understanding the history behind it. So anyway, many years ago, the kings would, in India, would actually have a bell or a rope attached to a bell outside the palace, so any citizen could come. Any citizen, that's impartiality. Any citizen can come and had equal right to be heard before the king. And of course we have this example of Lord Ram, that Lord Ram, and I've told this story before, but some of you have heard, some of you have not heard. Lord Ram, one time Lord Ram was given his audience, and there was a dog outside the palace. Now the dog, is the dog a citizen? Yes. Prabhupada used the expression, and the Bible tells you to use the expression, praja, those who were born in the kingdom. They're all citizens. The dogs are citizens. I mean, just like here in Fiji, you have so many of these dog citizens. And they bark all night. And they keep me awake. I told the devotees in Mombasa that they should just collect them all and send them all to Tata Uni. Anyway, so they're all citizens. The dogs, the cats, the mosquitoes, they're all citizens of Fiji. Interesting, isn't it? So you have a large population. Dogs, cats, mosquitoes. Billions and trillions of living entities. So anyway, so this dog wanted to make a complaint to Lord Ram. I mean, that's really being equal. And so he was barking outside the palace. And then Ram sent Lakshman to check, you know, what's happening? Why does this dog keep barking? Because in Ram Raj, the dogs didn't bark without a reason. This is not Ram Raj here. So, therefore, they brought the dog in, and Ram said, bring the dog in. The dog came in. And he said, I have a complaint. In those days, dogs could also talk. It's like one of these Walt Disney movies or something like that. We have the talking animals. So the dog had a complaint, and the dog said, I want to make a complaint against a Brahmin. Wow. So here's the highest person in society, and practically the lowest person in society. You understand? That's even lower than an outcast, scheduled cast, bungee, or anything like that, a dog. Imagine if a dog came to your house and said, I'd like to make a complaint against you. Could they go to court here in Fiji and do that? I don't think so. So anyway, so I want to make a complaint against the Brahmin. And Ram said, all right, what's the complaint? He said, the Brahmin beat me. And Lord Ram said, bring the Brahmin here. And the Brahmin was brought here to the kingdom. And he said to the Brahmin, did you beat this dog? Did you beat the dog? And the Brahmin said, yes. And Ram said, why? And the Brahmin said, because I was hungry. You know, people are hungry. Not that you wanted to eat the dog. But when you get hungry, you get agitated. It's called low blood sugar. You know, you make an excuse. That's not a Brahmin. Like we're talking about making excuses about our behavior. Why did you beat your dog? Why did you beat? Anyway, hit someone. Well, I was hungry. Why are you addicted to drugs? Because I'm an addict. Why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Because I'm in Maya. So many excuses. But that's not Krishna conscious. As I said before, a Krishna conscious person has to take responsibility. So, Ram said to the Brahmin, this is wrong. You have to be punished. So he was ready to punish a Brahmin because a dog made a complaint. And, of course, the famous story is they were talking amongst each other how to punish the Brahmin, because the Brahmin's not supposed to be killed or beaten or anything like that. There's certain rules for punishing Brahmins. It's like when Ashwatthama was supposed to be punished, he couldn't be killed. Even though he had killed the sons of the Pandavas, he had killed Dhrishtadyumna, he had killed so many people unfairly, and tried to kill Parikshit. So they couldn't kill him. They had to cut his jewel out of his forehead. So in this case, they were discussing how to punish the Brahmin. We can't beat him. It's not appropriate. And they're discussing. And the dog said, I have a suggestion. And Ram said, all right, dog, what is your suggestion? And the dog said, make him temple president of the mandir or something like that. And everyone was bewildered. You know, why should he become a temple president? That's a high position. Everyone respects you. It's great to be temple president, isn't it? Actually, I was temple president for many years at Buddha Place. I don't want to do it again. Thank God I have surrendered disciples in different places who can do it. They were to surrender to it. I just want to chant Hare Krishna to be happy. Anyway, so, because the temple and I'll explain why in a second. So, everyone was bewildered to hear that explanation. And Ram said, why don't you ask the dog? He has a good explanation. He said, well, the dog said, previously I was temple president. And because when you're temple president, that also applies to guru, you have to take responsibility for those who are under you. Or a king. King gets a certain percentage of the bad karma. And if in a temple some bad things are going on, the temple president has to take a certain percentage of it. Or, Prabhupada actually said that if someone is a GBC, if he makes a mistake, he has to take birth as the Shudra. Because Prabhupada said that's what happened to Yamaraj. Yamaraj, Prabhupada said, was Krishna's GBC. That means governing body commission, for those who don't know. And he made the mistake of punishing this Mandavya Muni inappropriately, because Mandavya Muni pierced an insect with a piece of grass when he was a kid, little baby, basically. And so he was punished by being pierced in the same way. So, because he had made that mistake, he had to take birth as Vidura, who was actually considered a Yashudra. So it's a big responsibility. So the dog explained, you know, the previous life I was temple president, you know, I had to take responsibility, and that's why I became a dog. So make him temple president and he'll be a dog in his next life. That's a nice arrangement, punishment. So Ram said, okay, you're in charge of the mandir. So in this way, anyway, the whole point of my telling the story is to illustrate how the kings, like Prabhupada even makes reference here, the kings were actually equal to everyone. Of course, like Ram, for the sake of his citizens, even sent Sita Devi away. Right? I mean, that's the external thing, obviously. He sent Sita Devi away because he didn't want to be partial just because she was his wife. He wanted to do what was best for the citizens in general. And that's heavy. Of course, internally, we understand that he sent Sita Devi away so that they could, I'd say, manifest the Vipralamba Seva separation. Because in the spiritual realm, separation is higher than meeting. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? It's higher than meeting because it's more intense. Even with Radha and Krishna's pastimes, why did Krishna leave Vrindavan at 16 years of age and leave the gopis? Just to kill Kamsa. I mean, anybody could have killed Kamsa. That could have been done by someone else. He could have just sent Balaram. Just Balaram, you go. And why didn't Krishna come back? All right, so he killed Kamsa, so why didn't he come back? Well, you could say because he had to go to Gurukul, but anyway. Had to please his parents. I mean, but really, to evoke the mood of intense separation in the gopis. And when there's the mood of intense separation, there's also connection. So the same thing with Ram sending Sita away. So don't try to understand it simply from the external point of view. But in any case, Ram was shown that he was equal to everybody. He wasn't partial to his brother, he wasn't partial to his wife. He was just equal to everyone. So, the final point I want to make is, we should become like that. Now, how do you become equal to everyone? Well, the first way we do that is becoming equal poised. What does that mean? That's the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparshas to kontiya. Sitoshna sukadukada, dharma vayanam vichastam tatichas bhairam. Equal poise in happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. That's a hard one. Isn't it? Summer and winter seasons. How do you do that? That's really hard, isn't it? Blasphemy, you know, someone chastises you. You rascal! It's like even if I were to chastise Sumuk, he'd get upset. He has to be equal poise. Kumar is all your mercy. So anyway, so how do you do that? First of all, one way to do that is to be on the Brahma-Buddha platform, but that's pretty impractical for us. Brahma-Buddha prasunatma sarjatina kamsati. Samat, there's that word samat, equal poise. Samat sarveshu bhuteshu mambhati mabhati param. So we're not quite on that platform. So how do we become equal poise right now? In pleasure and pain, happiness, distress, and all these things. There's an easier way. It's called devotion. You think of what pleases Krishna or what pleases your spiritual master, and you tolerate. Yes, there will be a natural response to certain stimuli. Like this verse in the Upadesha Rita. Vachya Vega Manasakrata Vega Yuva Vega Lodavasta Vega. That verse states that one tolerates the pushings from these things. You understand? Why do you tolerate for a higher purpose? You have a why to your life. Let me explain what I mean, a why. Why doesn't mean the letter why. It means a purpose to your life. Too often, we think about the how and the what of our lives, but not the why of our lives. Is that it? If I say, who are you? Well, I chant Hare Krishna, devotee, whatever. That's how and what. But why are you doing what you're doing? We talked about this the other day, too. I generally talk about this and encourage devotees to think about it. Because if you're thinking, you know, what's my purpose in life? Is it just to become a doctor? Just to make money? Just to have a big house? Just to find a nice husband or a nice wife? Or what else? Have nice clothes? Or will you ladies, nice jewelry? When I just heard the other day, one lady said, well, I'm not getting married until there's enough money for all the jewelry that I need. So, if you wait that long, you'll be an old maid. So anyways, so the why, you should drill down, means, you know, try to figure, go down, down, down. Why, or what's the purpose of your life? Think about it. And the purpose of my life is to please Prabhupada and Krishna. Of course, I'm not saying you have to have the same purpose. Your purpose of your life may be just to please your senses, I don't know. But try to think of some ultimate purpose of your life. And you focus on that. I mean, that's actually what they do in successful businesses. Their motto, they have a, you know, mission or vision statement of the why we're here. You know, why are we here? Many businesses just have the what they do or how they do it, and then they're not so successful. But the businesses that think of why they're doing or why their product satisfies their customers or whatever, or why the customers would be satisfied, they're successful. So if we think, you know, why am I doing things? And if you think like that, then you can tolerate things. Like if someone, let's say someone comes up and screams at me. It happens a lot. Disciples do it. No, not really. If someone screams, and so I immediately want to respond, either by punching them in the mouth, or screaming back at them, or cursing them, or something like that. But then I think, you know, why? What's my purpose in life? My purpose in life is to please Prabhupada. Would Prabhupada be pleased by me screaming at them, punching them in the mouth, or doing anything like that? And then I think, no. So I immediately go back to the purpose, and then I'm able to tolerate. And then I'm not saying it's easy. Then you're able to be equal poise. If you think of why you're here on this earth planet, We're here to become Krishna conscious. We're here to love Krishna. We're here to please Krishna. And then toleration and being equal poise comes. And that's really, that's how you can tell who is an advanced devotee, whether they're equal poised or not. Of course, they may get angry, but that's for your benefit. If they get angry, it's not because they're controlled by anger. They get angry because it's for your benefit. Spare the rod and spoil the disciple, as they say. Yes. No. Anyway, I haven't used a rod too much in disciples here. So anyway, that's how we become equal poised. That's our business. Krishna's equal poised. We're also supposed to be equal poised like that too. Not think of, and when we approach people or deal with people, not think of what they can do for us. We think of what we can do for them, for Krishna, to bring them to Krishna. And that's how Krishna thinks when he's dealing with us. He's not thinking, hey, what can that person do for me? What can Samukh do for me? What can Samukh do for him? Who is Samukh? What can he do? Isn't it? Look at me, what does Krishna need your little whatever you're offering? But Krishna thinks, what can I do? That's compassion. That's causeless mercy, right there. What can I do for this person? And Krishna's always thinking like that. How can I bring him back to me? So that's a devotee, that's how Prabhupada was thinking. That's how Srila Tamala, Krishna Maharaj Gurudev was thinking of. How can I bring this person to Krishna? That was one focus, a.k.a. Hagkurunandana. What can I do for them? Okay? So, we have 2 minutes left for class. Any questions or comments or arguments or problems or issues? Or complaints? No, everyone's so quiet. Subhuk, you must have a question. No? Dr. Mooney, you have a question? Being equal means reciprocate with them according to their ability to come to Krishna. Being equal doesn't mean we externally deal with everyone exactly the same. That, and Krishna doesn't externally deal with everybody exactly the same. I mean, Krishna kills the demons, protects the devotees. But equal in terms of what's the best thing for them. So a Majjhima Adhikari, the best thing that a Majjhima Adhikari can do for the envious is stay away from them. You understand? And the best thing he can do for the innocent is give them Krishna. The best thing he can do for the devotees is make friends with them. So he's thinking the best thing. That doesn't mean he... Equality doesn't mean that he acts the same with everybody. There's a distinction. But he feels... deals with everyone equally according to their reciprocation. That's what Krishna does. So we should do the same. As people are ready to approach Krishna, we deal with them appropriately to bring them to Krishna. If someone is envious, we just give them prasadam, but we still bring them to Krishna. If someone is really enthusiastic, then we give them the whole bag. And it's we have a lot of experience now that we're doing this Western preaching program. It's just gradually giving people, little by little, Krishna consciousness. It's not an all or nothing thing. It's not that people are either innocent or demons. I mean, it's mixed bag nowadays. It's hard to be Majjhima Adhikari because people have some envious streak in them, people have some innocent streak in them. And so you've got to really deal with everybody. I mean, I don't think I've ever met an absolute demon that I would avoid completely. course, I haven't gone to North Korea yet. But anyway, I don't think, I'm sure that he's pretty qualified in that regard. So therefore, it's a mix. In other words, everyone can be given some Krishna consciousness, even if it's just for some. Okay, so on that happy note, it's time to greet the deities. All glories to His divine glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Amishi, it's good to see you. Give my blessings to Vai. Devendra Rasamandal. Okay.